Alan Lindenmoyer is program manager of the Commercial Crew and Cargo Program at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas, and he is a finalist for the Management Excellence Service to America Medal. Alan, congratulations on your selection. The listing of the partnership says that you transformed NASA's space travel programs. Tell me where we were when you undertook this effort as NASA, as an agency launching into space, and more broadly the United States as a player in the space field, and where we've come as a result of the work that you've done, Alan.
Okay, thank you, Francis. Well, in 2004, President Bush gave us the vision for space exploration that said we were going to return to the moon, we're going to build new launch vehicles and new spacecraft that's going to let us explore deeper into space and all the way out to the asteroids and the planets someday. But at the time, we were flying the space shuttle, and it was doing the assembly of the station and doing the routine resupply missions to the station. But to afford this new capability, we would have to retire the space station when the space shuttle assembly was complete. So that's where we were in 2004. Our new administrator came on board, Mike Griffin, in 2005, and he believed that the ability to develop new space transportation systems was within the grasp of American entrepreneurs. So he gave us the challenge to create a new capability, a new way of doing business with the private sector. That ultimately resulted in the development of these two brand new space systems at less than half the cost to the government of what it would have traditionally cost.
You have engineering background at NASA, and some of the greatest engineers in the world work there, but you also have contract management experience. How did that confluence of experience help you build a strategy to accomplish what you accomplished?
Well, I think it was very important. I had worked in the space station program for about 18 years at this point, starting as a structural engineer and then working my way into the actual management, technical management of the prime contracts. Very large contracts for the development and operation of the station. So I had a good perspective of the technical complexity involved, the safety requirements, and the oversight necessary to operate such a large, complex vehicle. But I also had a good deal of experience on the management side of the contracts, looking for new ways of executing our programs at lower costs and higher efficiency. So I think those things put together was a good fit for creating this new program.
You activated something called Space Act Agreements. What were they, and why was it significant, do you think, that that was a vehicle that you chose to use?
Right. Well, NASA traditionally uses procurement contracts to fulfill all the needs of our programs, and that's where we write very detailed requirements and specifications, and then we hire a prime contractor to go build the capabilities in accordance with those specifications. And NASA typically pays the full cost of that development. But NASA is one of the few agencies in the government that has an other transaction authority, and that authority was given to the agency to enable other ways of doing business outside of the federal acquisition regulations when it makes sense, when it would be optimum. And these Space Act agreements allowed us to carefully craft each of the clauses in the agreements so that it enabled commercial-friendly terms and conditions. We wanted to attract emerging companies as well as established companies and the ability to compete for this, for these new capabilities. And it allowed us to level the playing field and let some of the new entrants compete evenly with the larger companies, and that worked out very well for us. In fact, we were able to share the cost instead of paying the full cost. And in the case of COTS, which we called our program, the Commercial Orbital Transportation Services, the government ended up paying actually less than half the total cost to develop the capabilities. So it was a good framework for enticing companies to invest their own private capital. And when you couple that with the technical expertise and collaboration with NASA, it was a really good, excellent partnership.
Alan Lindmoyer of NASA is a finalist for the Management Excellence Service to America Medal, works at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Your Administrator Bolden calls you a visionary, a pioneer, and on something that nobody wanted and now everyone loves, referring to this idea of a public-private partnership, that these are vehicles that NASA doesn't actually go out and have somebody build and then they own. Why was it nobody wanted to do that, in the words of Administrator Bolden? Why do you think that was, Alan?
Well, NASA has a very strong culture of being very precise and very careful in everything we do. Space is such a complex business. There's no margin for error. And we were right in the middle of assembling one of the most complex vehicles ever built in the world. And it had, of course, great expense and a lot of contributions from international partners from around the world. So, to date, only NASA and other international government nations had the capability to fly to the space station with crew and cargo services. So this has never been done by a private company. So there was some apprehension of whether or not that actually can be done safely and reliably. And that's just our culture. So there was resistance, but our team overcame that and convinced everybody involved that these companies could do this, and they would do it to the same standards that we hold ourselves.
So in another stroke of culture busting, you hired a venture capitalist to help you evaluate business plans. When did that occur to you? Why did you think the skills of such a person were necessary, and what fruit did that bear for you, Alan?
Well, when we were formulating the program, we had our technical experts in all the different engineering disciplines, and we were quite confident that we could very capably evaluate these new proposals. But it became clear to me that not only would these ventures need to be technically viable, that they also needed to be have a very good business case that closed. If we expected companies to invest their own money in these capabilities, well then they had to have a very strong business case, because NASA did not intend to be the only customer for these services. One of our goals was also to help stimulate the commercial space industry, so NASA would not be the only customer, and that we would see the growth of a great new industry to help our economy in space.
Where do you see the space program going in the future? Do you expect to see more commercialization? And what implication does that have for NASA's role moving forward?
Oh, absolutely. I think we've created a lot of believers now that these companies, SpaceX and Orbital Sciences, demonstrated they absolutely could produce these capabilities. And they're not stopping with just the cargo services that we now rely on. We are now in the middle of a competition to award contracts to commercial companies to provide astronaut transportation now. We're moving on from cargo to crew transportation capabilities. And I'm also working on a new program now to bring on some new partners to help us create other capabilities that will help us explore deep space as we pursue that mission.